And we're live. Oh, I can't minimize it. Oh, sorry. Welcome to the Cis Bro
Show, a comedy
duo.
I think we're getting better at it. We probably should practice before recording. We'll do that next time.
Yeah. Totally. Next time. Well, I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
And I am the other host, Brooks. I am the sister.
And and obviously, I'm the brother.
Obviously.
And it's a debate over who's the prettiest, but, you know.
I don't think it's a debate. I think it's pretty obvious.
I don't know if you see the same thing I see when I look in the mirror, but...
It's obvious. I don't. When I look in the mirror, I don't see what you see when you look in the mirror.
Well, yeah.
All right, so what are we talking about today, Megan, on today's podcast?
So we're going to go through some motivation.
Oh, which I need a lot of right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It happens, though, but, you know, we get to discuss what motivates us, and I'll share what I do, you share what you do, and hopefully we can help some people.
Yeah, hopefully, because as much as you know who have been listening to the podcast and following the podcast, last weekend we did a podcast, and I talked about going through a separation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's still pretty fresh, and there's still tons of ups and downs, and, you know, it's just a whole roller coaster of emotions right now, and especially now, because certain things came up. I don't want to go into detail, but certain things have come up that kind of violently push that separation into me demanding a divorce.
Oh,
yeah. So now we're at that point, and
you want the divorce?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, of course, I will say, after I said that, I did the usual. I mean, I wouldn't say usual, but I'm sure, you know, people going through this stuff had those moments where, you know, I broke down and I called her and I was like pleading with her and saying, oh, no, it's not what I want and this and that. And I don't want to throw away our marriage, but I mean, it's a done deal. Like even with that, this was still going through,
yeah,
you know, and that was just me hitting one of those crazy, crazy lows. But even after that, like, yeah, it's just you gotta roll with it. And as weird as that sounds, you know, rolling with it through, you know, anyone going through hard times, like, oh yeah, just roll with it. But I'm like in it right now. Like I am in the midst of the hard times.
Yeah.
You know.
The wound is very fresh.
It is. It is very fresh. I feel like I feel like, and this is, I'm sure other people feel the same way, where you feel like you're not rock bottom, like you're past rock bottom, like you're buried under rock bottom.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're in bedrock bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in bedrock bottom. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a country song. The bedrock bottom.
I think of Flintstones. Yeah, they lived in bedrock.
Bedrock. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean that's why I want to kind of talk about the motivational stuff, because I have been doing anything and everything to motivate me to try and get me out of this place that I'm currently in. Like I said, there's tons of highs and lows. Like right now I feel fine. I'm sure tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up. I'm going to feel great. I'm going to be ready to take on the world. And then by like 1 o'clock, I'm going to be like, my life is terrible.
You know? Yeah. Like you said, it's a roller coaster.
It is. It is a roller coaster. And it's something that, you know, you just got to ride those highs. And honestly, I think that I'm riding the highs too much. Like I need to kind of pull myself back down, because the space in between riding the highs and hitting those lows is just way too far from each other.
Oh yeah. It's like going skydiving and just hitting the ground.
Yeah. It's like I'm skydiving and then all of a sudden my chute won't open.
Yeah.
So I think I need to kind of pull the reins on those highs and be like, hey, I need to, you know, just calm it down. Just relax, you know, because if I hit a low, it's just going to seem that much worse.
Right. You gotta allow yourself to grieve the marriage, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And don't try to like avoid those really tough emotions and feelings. Like you just have to let yourself feel it, because if you avoid it, then you're just going to push it down and it's going to bubble back up sometime.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be kind of overflowing.
Yeah, exactly.
And since that's what I'm trying to do is I even, you know, I'm a gamer, but these past 2 weeks, I haven't streamed once. I, you know, stream on Twitch and a game on Twitch. I haven't streamed once in 2 weeks. This week, I'm determined to get back into it. I'll, you know, stream around mid to the end of the week. Mm-hmm. Just like tonight's podcast. I didn't know if I'd be up for this podcast. Right. But I honestly think that this is something that probably people need to hear. I mean, because last week we talked about, you know, the separation. I went ahead and came out and you know, started talking about my eyesight, my problems with that, and the struggles I've been having with that.
Yeah, people can relate to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and where it seems like every time you go to pick yourself up, you get knocked back down.
Yeah.
And essentially, I feel like I've gone through that 3 times already. Like, there was the eyesight issue, and then I was determined, you know what, I'm going to turn my life around. I've quit smoking. I've quit drinking sodas. I'm going, you know, trying to focus on my work and make something happen for myself. And then, boom, separation. I was like, okay, well, I'm still determined. I haven't had a cigarette since. Still haven't had a cigarette all year.
I did break down
and drink a soda, but I'm that was like one soda, and I haven't had it anymore.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't cause you to like be like, fuck it, I'm drinking sodas all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're allowed to slip up.
To slip up and try to get back on track, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As long as you get back on track.
So I did. I got back on track with that. And then, boom, I was like, you know, we hit some more shit, hit the fan, and then it turned into a divorce. And then it was like, well, shit, you know, I can't win at this, you know.
Yeah.
But every day I still have been getting up and going through a routine.
That's good.
I've been getting up and taking the necessary steps to try and make myself feel better. Like right now, like I said, I'm in a very low. Like I'm going through, it feels like hell, but I have to keep moving. I can't sit and wallow in it.
Yeah.
If I'm not moving forward, I'm just sitting in it.
Right.
I got to get out of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're doing a good job, though.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my past experience in life has really kind of prepared me for this. It doesn't make it feel any better, you know. It still hurts a lot, but.
Well, nobody gets married to get divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So it's one of those things that I'm still, like I said, taking it day by day and trying my best to ride the highs and fight the lows and making small changes and doing small things throughout the day to make myself feel better, to try and take my mind off things. What I was talking about before, I'm a gamer, you know, and I haven't played any games. I can't play any games. I try playing games and I can't focus on them.
Yeah.
Luckily I have a VR headset. So I was able to jump into a couple of VR games that helped me kind of, you know, relax my mind a little bit. Like, you don't want to dive into something and then lose yourself in it to get away from your problems. You just want to kind of, you know, take a break from all your problems real quick and do something that will make you kind of take your mind off of it and feel like, I even told myself, I was like, I'm not going to get lost in this. I'm not going to, you know, jump into VR and then forget about my problems and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I get that. I watch ASMR videos. It helps me unwind.
For the relaxing. I'm kind of the opposite, though. I think I listen to a lot of hype music.
Oh.
Like a lot of like rock and roll and like in your face, like, you know.
Like Godsmack.
Yeah, like Godsmack or Nickelback.
Nickelback. Oh, yeah, those are two very similar bands.
Yeah, you know, the heavy stuff, you know. I stick to the heavy stuff. Matchbox 20.
They do have that song Push. Mm-hmm. You know.
Smash Mouth.
Oh, hey now.
You know, stuff to get me pumped up. Stuff to make me feel better, you know.
I'll try not to judge you, but okay.
No, I mean, I've hit YouTube a lot and just listening to music and watching just in general motivational videos.
I watch those in the morning.
I do too. I actually watch them in the morning before I start doing stuff. Well, I mean, after I watch them after I have this whole past week, I have stuck to a very strict diet. I have done a small workout regimen to kind of condition my body to start like really working out again. So, but it's been gradually, you know, stepping up through this past week. So I'm hoping to get, you know, better and better workouts as each week pass.
Yeah. I really believe healthy body, healthy mind.
Yeah. I mean, really anyone who's in good shape, you know, you already feel better for feeling accomplished. But then, mm-hmm. you know, I also think, you know, when you look good, you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just your anatomy telling you like, hey, we feel great right now. Yeah. It's also like your mind, like you're looking at yourself and you're like, damn, yeah, your confidence goes up. Mm-hmm. You feel much better. You know, I love working out. I love lifting weights. Mm-hmm. So it's nice getting back into that and then trying to today was my cheat day for eating outside my diet.
Oh, what'd you have?
Had a steak burrito from Chipotle.
Oh, I know. Uh-huh. Jesse likes some Chipotle.
She does. That she does. And I was down to get that steak burrito too because it's packed full of protein and just delicious.
I mean, yeah.
And then for dinner, I had some Chinese food, some chicken and veggies.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, you got some veggies in there.
Mm-hmm. Got some veggies. It was like onions and bell peppers.
But still, I mean.
Which I think really was more onions and bell peppers than it was chicken. So really, I got onions, bell peppers inside of chicken thrown
in. That's how it goes sometimes. Yeah. That's how it be sometimes.
That's how they get you.
I like black pepper chicken. Oh, that shit is so good.
I probably should have got that. I think I told them next time if we do that, if I get a really good workout in and I feel like I've kind of earned it, I may go for like steak from like both meals.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
I've only done weight training like twice this week, and then some just regular like sets of like jumping jacks, push ups, squat, thrusts.
Thrusts.
But I see it as and everything I'm doing after I get done with that, after I get done with my workout, I start the coffee, the maker going, get the coffee running, jump in the shower, hop out, eat me a little bowl of cereal, and I grab my coffee. I come back in here into my little office and, I watch some motivational videos while I'm drinking my coffee.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what, yeah. That's my little ritual in the morning before I get the kids ready. I watch some motivational videos while I'm getting my mind right. Cause I also like to meditate. That helps me a lot to stay mindful. And I have a meditation app. It's called 10%. It's really, really helpful because it's guided meditation. So they basically tell you what to do. Because I had meditated a long time ago and it was so helpful for me, but then I just like stopped, which I probably shouldn't have, but it really helps you control those thoughts, the thoughts that come in your head.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It helps you to be able to, not keep yourself from thinking those thoughts, but more control over it, like mm-hmm. You recognize what you're thinking and then either you change what you're thinking or
that's so difficult. I mean, especially like right now, I know it's really hard to kind of fight that right now because of the situation I'm in, but there's also I think there's different mindsets with people like me. Mm-hmm. Me in particular, I can't stop my mind from racing in different directions. Like I can identify it. I can say, hey, I need to change my train of thought, and then I will, and then it'll go right back to it.
Yeah.
And start racing again.
That, and meditation does help that for me. If you download the 10% app, then what they do is they have like a little short video explaining stuff about meditation, and then it goes into the guided meditation. So you learn more and more about how meditation can help you as you go along. So they have like, day one, day two, day three. And it talks about how meditation, the benefit of it is being mindful so that when you're doing something, you're actually taking in what you're doing instead of your mind being somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
It's very helpful and it helps me with those racing thoughts. Like I can calm my mind down and my problem is I fall asleep. So I have to like try to find a way not to fall asleep when I'm meditating, because once I calm my mind, it's like it's time to go to bed. Yeah. She ain't thinking about much.
It's a little too common here.
Yeah. So, but I'm getting there. I started out doing just like 2 minutes. I think it's like 2 or 3 minutes of meditation, and now I'm up to 15, and I want to eventually get to an hour. If I try to do an hour of meditation now, it's not going to work. I'm either going to fall asleep or I'm just going to quit because I'll be so bored. But the meditation app helps you learn how to not be bored with it and just focus on your breath. Yeah. It's helpful. So I'll do that, and then I'll watch some motivational videos, and then I'll listen to a motivation podcast after I drop the kids off and come home. Because if I try to do it with the kids in the car, they distract me and I can't listen to it. I've got a lot of stuff on Audible. Like right now I'm listening to Indistractable, which is a really good audiobook. He talks about how to like concentrate on your goals and how to not get distracted by things. It's pretty good.
Honestly, I think that's a really good thing for today with just having a rest day. Like I felt like I should be working on something. I should be doing something. I kept reminding myself, no, this is your day to relax. Mm-hmm. You know, no working out, no working on any of your projects. Just take it easy. Just relax.
Yeah. That's a good point that he goes over in the book too. He talks about scheduling and he says, don't neglect the time for yourself. Don't neglect the time for your family. Like actually schedule it. Don't just give yourself what's left over.
Yeah.
You know, actually schedule that time and then stick to it and be like, look, this is the time for myself. I'm not doing anything else. This is the time to spend with my family. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not checking my emails. I'm not going to do anything else. And it made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And that's essentially what I was trying to do today until you hit me up about this podcast. And I was like, oh God, the podcast, that's right.
This ain't really work though. We're talking
It's not. It's really just sitting and talking about stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is a really good topic to be talking about in my current situation. And I'm kind of, I'm hoping as the weeks go by that, I keep talking more and more about, how things are going on my end. And what steps I'm taking to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that anyone listening can be like, wow, this guy is going through a separation. He's been separated from his wife for like a week and a half. Something went down that violently threw it into a divorce.
Yeah.
He's also struggling with his eyesight, but still trying to stay optimistic about the future, which I'm sure is like really hard, but I feel like everything I'm doing right now, every little thing that I'm doing, I'm slowly piecing together something right. That's going to get me through this. Like, it's like I'm taking every little step I'm doing with working out, eating right, quitting smoking, quitting sodas, listening to motivational videos. I'm taking all these little pieces and building a little machine to get me out of here.
Right. Yeah. It's like another book I talked about, The Atomic Habits. It's those little changes that eventually build up. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a bigger change that, you don't see it every day, but the little things lead up to it.
Yeah.
It's a really good book.
And sometimes I think, I also think just letting it out.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bad habit of just kind of bottling things up and pretending to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a pretty sizable breakdown yesterday, all by myself. And
were you in the shower?
No, I wasn't in the shower.
Oh, I have my breakdowns. I think it's because I have the kids and stuff. So if I need to break down, then that's the best place for me.
Last thing, Jesse and Michael were away, so I was kind of left, to myself, and ended up calling the ex and breaking down. But after that breakdown, I felt pretty good. I felt a little bit better after letting it out, which I don't. It feels weird, especially with being a guy. Like I don't like talking about that kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't like talking about breaking down and crying and all this stuff. But it sometimes you have to let it out.
Yeah, I think a lot of times men think they're not supposed to do that, but keeping it in is a whole lot worse.
It is, and it makes the. It makes the breakdowns just like 10 times worse, but it's good to just get it out. I just got it out of my system. Jesse, luckily I haven't been sleeping well, of course, either with all the stuff going on. I've been waking up in the middle of the night having to pee because I've been drinking so much water. Oh, yeah. So I wake up at like 2:30, 3:30 in the morning and I can't go back to sleep. So I did the same thing this morning. I woke up at like 1:30 in the morning, had to pee. Couldn't go back to sleep. And then, but Jessie has shown me that she has some Unisom.
Oh, yeah.
A little like sleep aids or whatever. So I went ahead, took a couple of those, and I slept into like 8:30. And I woke up feeling pretty good. Cause that's another important thing I'm trying to focus on is I'm trying to get better sleep schedule. Ever since I was like little, I've never had a good sleep schedule.
I was about to say, I remember when you were little telling mama that you needed your Z's, and that was the commercial for the sleeping medicine.
Yep.
Helps you get your Z's, and your daughter, I need some of that. I need some Z's.
Yeah, I need some of that. I need to get my Z. And that's, I mean, honestly, when I was a little kid, even growing up, you know, through middle school, high school, I do not sleep that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I would stay up like really late and get like maybe a few hours of sleep and then be right back up.
Yeah.
And that's same with like naps. Like, you know, people love taking naps, and I can rarely do it. And if I do happen to accidentally like fall asleep on the couch and I wake up, I feel like I've lost the day. I feel like I was like, oh man, I've slept like for like 4 hours. What's going on?
Yeah, I feel that way. Sometimes Kevin lets me sleep in, and then I'll wake up and be like, why did you let me sleep so late?
Yeah, like you feel like you've wasted. But really, I mean, you're tired, you know?
Yeah.
You need sleep. And that's another aspect that I'm trying to work on in my life is, you know, hey, I need to get in bed at a reasonable time. Mm-hmm. I need to go ahead, shut down, and get a good night's sleep.
Well, that's one reason for me to get healthier and lose weight, because the healthier you get, the better quality of sleep you get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't need to sleep as long, because the time you do sleep is better, you know, than usual. So,
well, I always feel too that I need like a good time for me is about 6-7 hours of sleep. Like that's really good for me, around 6.5-7 hours. Somewhere between 6 and 7. If I sleep 8 hours or more, then I feel pretty like weird in the mornings. Like I wake up and I still feel tired. Like I can't just hop up like I do if I just get 6 or 7. Like once I hit 8 or more, I wake up and I feel like crap.
Yeah, I'm like that too. I think for me it's like 6 or 7, the same thing. Because if I sleep, like if he lets me sleep in, then I'll wake up and be like, oh God, mm-hmm. What am I gonna do?
And also another good tip that I've been trying to utilize, which I may be trying to utilize too much, are lists.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually making lists and writing down things that you need to take care of, things that you need to do. Mm-hmm. I also wrote down a list of different sayings that I hear either through the motivational videos or things that just come to me like while I'm thinking about stuff. I write that stuff down. You know, I write it down. I have my list of sayings that are motivational that I can kind of touch base with. Also, I hope this is going to be a good throwback, is I made a video of myself talking to myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I made a video of me, you know, talking to future me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that I can reference that, you know, and get some words of encouragement mm-hmm, from myself. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I've heard of people doing that, and also doing the future them, like writing a letter as if they were them in the future to them now.
I did that as well. So I have I have the motivational video that I did for myself of, mm-hmm. of me talking to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a motivational video that I hope to use in, you know, in the future, of future me placing a call to the past me.
Oh, see, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So it's legit. It's going to be set up, and it's probably just my creativeness and my wanting to do like projects and stuff. I have a video of, you know, past me having a conversation with future me, and nice. It timed up pretty good. But you know, once I actually, you know, progress and get better, you know, through time, I'm going to replace the future portion with actual future me.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then set it up to where, you know, the camera's on like, you know, actual future me in like a few years, and then me as of right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a project that I'm going to be doing. I need to just make sure I hold on to those videos so that when, you know, things start looking up for me and start getting better for me, I can do the future portion, replace that, and actually have a video call with myself.
Your buff self.
Yeah, my super buff, super sexy self. So yeah. I don't want to give away too much because it's going to be really good. Like I did it, I made it, and I watched it, and I was like, wow, this is really good.
There you go. Yeah. Are you going to make it rain? Look at all this money I got from the podcast.
I mean, well, let's just say future Rooks was pretty proud of where he was at.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see.
It's gonna be really good.
So but, when is this future you? How many do you know? How many years or?
Within 5 years.
5 years, nice.
Within 5 years. Now, I know it seems like a pretty big chunk of time, but the things I want to do are going to take time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm hoping to accomplish a pretty good amount of things within that time span.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times people will say, well, I can't do that. It's going to take too long. Well, the time is going to pass anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not do something with it instead of just waste it? You know, and I mean, I've been there. I've wasted a lot of time, you know, but you get caught up in the day to day. Yeah.
Everyone who's going to be listening right now can identify with that and say, you know, anyone you talk to can say, I've had these ideas. I've had these things I want to do and I've wasted so much time.
Yeah.
But the thing is that time can all be made up. You can go ahead and start doing that right now.
You know, there's a good YouTube video. You should watch it if you haven't. It's a TED Talk. Mm-hmm. And he talks about procrastination.
Oh, is it the procrastination monster?
Oh, yeah. He has the monkey.
And the monkey, yeah. Watch
yes!
that.
Oh,
I haven't seen that one, yes.
That was very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of sense because yeah. He pretty much says that, you know, he procrastinates and then it's the alarm monster or the freak out monster.
Yeah.
That lets you know, like, hey, deadline's coming. You got to do this. And then he'll grind and actually do something.
Yeah.
But certain things in your life, you know, there's no deadline. There's no deadline. There's no monster to pop up and say, hey, you know, you need to do this. So you just keep procrastinating.
Right. And then at the end, he really hit home with showing like how much time you have until you die.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's like, you do have a deadline, you know, you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Yep. Mm. Yep. So I have seen that.
Oh. Well, good.
if we both like surf to YouTube, we may be in the scene like, you know, a majority of the videos. Like one of my favorites, it's probably one of the first ones I watched. I think I actually watched it while I was still in the same house with my soon to be ex-wife. It was about this guy talking and saying that the only enemy that can stop you is the enemy within you.
Oh yeah,
and that he picked that this enemy feeds you poison on a daily basis, telling you that you're not good enough, that you'll never make something yourself, you'll never get nowhere, mm-hmm. and that he pictures this enemy in a cage in his mind, and it's circling in that cage, and it's always watching him, always waiting for him to slip up. And I just thought, I was like, wow, that really kind of resonates with me. And that's the thing with a lot of these motivational videos and a lot of these things you listen to is that certain things are going to strike a chord with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain things are going to resonate with you where it's like, wow, that really makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. Oh yeah. I get
and
that.
So this whole process of me trying to, you know, do these changes throughout life and focus on doing something better, essentially is me trying to keep that inner demon of me in a cage. And keeping that poison that it feeds me on a daily basis at bay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still, times are going to get hard. It's going to happen. It's going to get to you. But you got to put that inner demon back away, you know?
Right.
Let me see if I can find, get my little notes out. Because mm-hmm. I've got quite a few little notes for inspiration here.
Oh.
There's one that I liked a whole lot that I identify with because I made this up. Okay, here we go. All right, let's see here. All right, so one of the things on my list here is, of course, develop your gifts. You know, if you have a gift, like me with my art, my voice acting, my streaming, you know, I enjoy doing that. I have a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
And my coming up with storylines, I've been writing all week. I went from having a book when I was living back in South Carolina, I started and only done like 2 pages on, and now I'm up to page 20.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've been doing that. I've been developing my gifts. Also daily discipline, you know, sticking with your routine, really focusing on what you want to do and getting it done and getting those small victories, like getting up and doing my workout, following my diet. let's see, use it to fuel your dreams. Any emotion that I'm feeling where there's riding a high or fighting through a low, I have to make sure I'm aiming that energy in the right direction.
Right.
Let's see. Then there's like some basic ones like love yourself, race standard.
RuPaul has a really good quote if you want to write it down.
What's that?
It's she says, or he. He does it at the end of all of RuPaul's Drag Race. He goes, love. Can I hear you say love? And then everybody says love. And he says, if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen?
That's very true.
Yeah.
And for these past few years, like I have been struggling with myself because, I mean, mainly it's because, you know, things have changed so quickly where I feel like before I was able to get by, I was able to, you know, work with my eyesight being bad, and things have progressed enough to where I don't have those options anymore.
Right.
You know, and it's been kind of eating away at me and tearing away at me that I thought I had more time. And this thing, everyone thinks you have more time before something like this happens to you.
Exactly. You never think it's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've always been able to manage with my bad eyesight. You know, when I was even in high school, I would sit to the front of the class. I could see a little bit better. If I sat in the back of class, I couldn't see shit going on the board.
Right.
Yeah. And then like working, doing certain jobs, machine operating, doing jobs where I had to drive from job site to job site, you know, I could manage. Mm-hmm. But now I'm at that point where I don't have that to fall back on.
Right.
And honestly, I think that's what I kind of need with what I want to do. Like almost if this is supposed to happen to me so that I can accomplish something better.
Oh, I do. I believe everything happens for a reason.
Well, that's where I came up with one of my quotes that I came up with for myself. Because essentially, I've lost my safety net to fall back on.
Yeah. You know,
if things didn't work out for me, I could go out right now and find any job. And this is like in the past. Like right now, I can't do that. I can't drive anymore. There are certain jobs that I can't do anymore. I've been struggling with this for like the past year.
Yeah.
But my quote is, sometimes you have to lose your safety net to walk the wire and not fall.
That's true. That's good.
As long as you have that safety net to fall back on, you're going to fall back on it.
Do you think that your marriage was a bit of a safety net for you too?
I think my marriage was a bit of a safety net as well.
Yeah.
I honestly think that was because, you know, things weren't working out and I had that to kind of fall back on. You know, I had my wife to still be there, you know, doing her thing while I was trying to figure out what I was going to do.
Gotcha.
You know? And I honestly thought, you know, that we were still going to be, you know, moving forward. I was starting to make these changes at the beginning of the year while we were still together. And like I said, you know, I turned around and was trying to face these things with more optimism and trying to make changes to move forward. And then I got knocked back down. Okay, let me get back up. I'm going to try again. Then I got knocked right back down again.
Yeah. Oh, I can relate to that because I'm divorced. Mm-hmm. I got divorced a while back, though. Yep. And we had separated twice before we finally divorced. And then the time before we actually called it quits when we separated, I didn't really want to get back together, but I was a stay-at-home mom when we separated and I didn't really have many options, you know? So it's like, I'll just make it work for the kids. You know, thinking back and now I work because I don't think that Kevin and I are going to get divorced, but I like having, you know, the security because I've been there before where I didn't have that security. Yeah. And it sucked. So I definitely learned my lesson going through that divorce. It changed me as a person.
Yeah.
You know, and like I had two kids. I had no choice but to just keep going. I couldn't wallow in it.
Yeah. I suppose that's probably a positive spin on what's going on with me is that me and my future ex-wife have no kids.
Yeah. You know,
we also don't have like a house or anything together, nothing too major. And it's still pretty civil between me and her. You know, we're still mm-hmm. sorting things out. We're still kind of talking back and forth and making sure we get all this sorted out.
Right.
So I'm making sure that I'm handling this a little bit better.
Gotcha. Is she, are you don't have to answer these questions, but is she mm-hmm. on the same page as you as that it's over?
Yeah. I mean, aside from like, cause I already knew that was over and I was the one that, you know, like I said, requested a divorce. I did have that breakdown yesterday where, you know, I did the, I don't know. I see this a lot like in like comedies where the guy breaks down and calls up his ex. He's like, oh, I love you. I miss you so much. You know?
Oh yeah.
I had like that moment yesterday.
On a Pineapple Express.
Yes. Yes, like on Pineapple Express.
And then when she was like, I want to get married. And he's like,
yeah, I made a mistake. I made a mistake.
Why would you want to marry me?
So, yeah, so I mean, after like whole breakdown and everything, and even after like the breakdown, you know, it's just one of those things where I know it's not going to work. I know I can't have that. Like, it's not. Once certain things happen, like that bond is broken.
Right. Know? Yeah. Oh, I get that completely. And
as much as I want to hate her, like I can't. You know, we were together for 4 years, married for over two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that she is going to be all right moving forward. I'm, you know, we're taking these necessary steps to make sure that everything is separated, that she's still set up with certain things, you know, while I'm not there. And then once, you know, all that's done and over with, you know, we're not going to have any communication anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course you're going to go the legal route. I just know from experience, I'm not saying this is going to happen to you, but things can seem civil in the beginning. And then once you get in the midst of the actual legal divorce, things don't get as civil. But again, you don't have kids. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about. I feel like kids add to that. Where you know, you think you're going to be civil, and then it's like, oh, no, we're going to rip each other apart.
Yeah, and that can really prolong that whole process.
Yeah.
So in a way, I am a little more fortunate than most that we never got to the point of having kids to have that, you know, drawn out or have that you know, that come up in the divorce. It's just going to be for me and her. It's just going to be like, hey, here's the divorce papers. Bing, right. Bang, boom, it's done.
Well, they have like those mail divorces. If you want a contact info, it's like $250. You're divorced. Especially if you don't have any assets together.
Yeah.
So if you don't have anything to split up, then you don't even have to show up in court. They just divorce and then they mail you the divorce papers.
Yeah, we've actually discussed that. That's what we're going to do. They're going to mail me the divorce papers and then I'm going to sign off on them. I have to do like a little waiver that I'm not going to show up for anything or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
And then it'll be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like I said, I'm still doing everything I can to focus on my work. And I still even have moments where I'm just sitting here, you know, doing my motivational notes and I'll think of, you know, certain ideas, certain things that I've been holding on to forever. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to write that down before I forget it. So that's part of my list process is that the things that I love doing and that I'm working on, I'm still focusing on that. I'm still working on that.
Yeah. Good. I keep notes on my phone. I like to write stuff down too, but sometimes I don't always have a pen and paper, but I usually have my phone.
I have notes on my phone, but then after I write them down and save them, I never look at them again.
Oh, no. I read mine all the time. I guess it's just a preference, a matter of preference.
It is. I'm more of a pen and paper. Like I legit have, let's see that pad has, there's a pad in front of me with notes of the motivational stuff. And it's got more notes behind that. Underneath that is the notes of all my different books I want to write, all those different ideas. And then I got lists to my right for my diet and exercise routines.
What's this? You know, we should work on our show too.
Yeah, the podcast, because right now I've narrowed it down to four things that I want to really work on and make successful. One of them, which is the podcast. Another is my writing. You know, I need to get my ideas and my stories down on paper.
Right. Yeah.
Because I have tons of them. I have stories that I've been working on since I was in high school 15 years ago.
See, I have stuff like that too. My ideas, most of mine are comedy related and like TV shows. And then I have bits. Like I found notes of like bits that I wrote like 15 years ago. Because that's one of the things that when you talked about the things that you're passionate about that you really want to pursue, you made list about it. One of those things for me is comedy. Like I want to do stand-up comedy, you know, just get myself out there. I don't know what it'll turn into, but I gotta try. If I don't try, then I'm gonna regret it. And I don't want there to be things that I regret, you know? Yeah.
And that's mainly what it is. I have a very strong feeling, especially right now, like I said, with the whole safety net pulled out from under me, I feel like that this is life essentially sending me a message and saying, hey, you know, this is one route now. There's only one route left to go. You have no other options. This is the only way to go. And I'm not ignoring it. I'm saying, you know what? I'm using this. I'm going to use this time. I'm going to use this, all this I'm going through to push myself forward and accomplish the things I've always wanted to do. Another thing is my stream. I love streaming on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm crazy passionate about it. I love playing games. I love interacting with people and talking about the video games. I love just the setup in general. Like even just setting up the streams, like all my audio stuff, all my capture stuff.
I love
doing
my
research on it. Yeah, I love doing my research on it. I love the production aspect of it. Scene changes, all that good stuff, audio levels, like I'm into it.
Cool.
Yeah. And so that's the main four things: podcasts, writing my stories, streaming, and then also voiceovers.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I've done my two paid jobs. I'm now officially a paid voice actor because I've done two jobs, gotten paid for both of them, and gotten 5-star reviews from both of them.
Ooh, you're getting there.
I am. I'm getting there.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody that has tons of reviews, it started with one and then two, you know? Everybody starts at the same place. I think that's what a lot of people miss. They'll say, oh, well, I can't do what they did. Look how far ahead they are. Well, they started at the exact same place.
Yep.
At the, you know, beginning.
Yeah. I still need to, at some point, I need to make a demo reel for actual voice acting. Like right now I'm doing voiceovers, which are for like, you know, commercials or disclaimers, anything of that nature, which I didn't even know about that until like I heard a little bit when I was playing video games with people that I had a good speaking voice, that I just had a good voice in general.
Oh yeah. I've heard that from people that, that have heard you on Twitch, like, oh, your brother, he's got a really nice voice.
Yeah. So I remember we used to play poker all the time, and there was that one girl in Full House Poker that would talk about my southern accent and my voice in general.
Oh yeah.
And I can't remember her name for the life of me. There was a guy in there who was all about her. I thought this was hilarious. This is why it stuck with me. I think he would flirt with her all the time.
Yeah.
And so I would come into the poker table and I'd be like, oh, hey guys, how's it going? And then she would start trying to talk to me and he would be still kind of throwing stuff at her, trying to get like, hey, look at me. And I could see that. Like I could be like, oh wow, he's like really after that attention.
What was I in there?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure because that was a time where me and you were like hardcore into that Full House Poker stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't remember many people's names.
Honestly, I wish that game was still around because I could really, that'd be like a really good distraction for me to just kick back, shoot the shit with some people and play poker.
Yeah. I love that. It was like my wind down after we would play something like action, like Halo or something. Mm-hmm. We would always wind down.
Where it took a lot of focus and reaction time.
Yeah. So we'd be like, hey, you ready for some poker? I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah. I'm ready for some poker.
And so we'd hit the tables.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you were right. After you've concentrated on a game for a while, you start, you know, messing up.
Yeah. You start slipping.
Yeah. And you just need to let it go. Mm-hmm. And you so don't, that was don't rage analysis. Quit like puppy.
Yeah, not like puppy. God, he makes me laugh so hard when he does that. I would play with him just for that because he'd be like, man, Brooks, if I get killed one more time without getting a kill, I'm going to quit. I'll just be rolling laughing. I'm like, dude, we need you because I would just try to keep him in the game as long as possible. Oh, my God.
I remember the one time he kept like, I'm going to get your tags. And then I got his tags and I didn't hear him for the rest of the game. Yep. I was like, what's wrong? I got your tags.
Yeah, so I mean, like stuff like that. But like the whole thing with the poker, you know, the voice thing. And then I actually, when I was trying to find something else I could do with my life that didn't require me to be, you know, driving so much on the road from job to job or working in like factories or warehouses, stuff that'd be like dangerous because of my eyesight.
Right.
I started doing, you know, I did sales and also adjustments on insurance for vehicle insurance. So I worked in a call center. And I was pretty good at that. I did that for like over a year, but with my eyesight, they tried to help me. They gave me slightly bigger monitors, but I was getting headaches all the time. Like I was popping headache medicine before going into work as a preemptive attack on my headaches.
Have you tried the screen glasses? They make these like yellow lenses. I've thought about trying them, but it's supposed to help you.
It's like for the light.
It's for the light and just for your focus on the screen. It would be like you focusing on a paper versus focusing on the screen.
I've heard about those glasses. I think also as a gamer, I probably need to look into them as well. But mainly what it was for me is because of my eyesight, even with using computer monitors, you know, 8 hours a day and reading, going through policies and stuff like that with customers, I would get headaches from having to strain so much. So it would cause these like really bad headaches. But I did that for like about a year before I ended up, that was actually the job I was working when I almost got in a car accident, like a really bad one. And I was like, I don't need to be on the road no more.
But
while I was working there, I got all kind of compliments about my voice and how I need to be in radio. I also did a quick little stint working from home for U-Haul. I was a sales rep for them. They ended up falling through though. Like I ended up going full time with them, but it was like I was still having the same issues. And then they didn't make cuts. They were having issues with like connectivity with people. Like they had too many people, and it was like all these server issues. And I was just I was one of the new ones. I worked there for like a couple months. And right. Like, hey, we had to you know make some cuts. Servers. I assume that's what it is. I assume the server that's what it was because they like I signed on for work and I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
But while I was doing the U-Haul stuff, I would have people, you know, people call up and I'm like, thank you for calling U-Haul. How can I help you today? And then they would go, pay my bill.
They thought you were the computer.
They thought I was the automated system. And I would kind of go with it. I would see how long I could keep it going. I would say, so you want to pay your bill? Yes.
You had to do the misheard thing too, you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Yeah. So I would see how long I keep it going, and then I'll throw them a curveball. Like I would actually call them by name, and then like, say, okay, there's this and this, and they're like, oh, you're a real person. I made like a little game, you know, to make it a little more interesting. Is how many people could I make think that was an automated system, and how long could I make them think that I was an automated system?
See, I'd be fucking with people. They'd say, pay my bill. And I'd be like, you want a cup of feel?
That's the thing. That was like, that's my, like right now I'm speaking like kind of normally, you know, it's just me and you on the podcast, but I have my telephone voice. And when I do my telephone voice, that's when I'm really, you know, I feel like we've talked about this before. When I talk about voice acting, it's really pronouncing my words and speaking clearly and kind of monotoned.
Right.
And that's what got me interested in looking into voiceovers and stuff like that. I would love to do some actual voice acting though, like for anime and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. I would like to get in that at the point. I feel like that's something, even if my eyesight completely leaves me, I still have my voice as of right now.
Well, you know, I think when I would play video games, people would always think that I was a prepubescent boy. So I think I could get into some voice acting. I mean, look at Bobby Hill.
A lot of women play boys on shows. Dragon Ball Z, Gohan, when he was a kid, even Goten, played by women.
Bobby Hill, Bart Simpson.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when we played Sea of Thieves together. When the time someone thought I was an NPC, like I shot myself over and I said, hey, I'm an ambassador of Sweet Calf. And there was a girl on the other ship. She's like, you sound like an NPC. Is he real? Is that real? I was like, yes, I'm real.
I remember you said that you wanted to like act like find a noob and try to be like the tutorial.
Yes. Well, welcome to Sea of Thieves.
That's perfect. Oh gosh, we need to do that. We need to prank some people and do like a compilation.
Yeah. Make them think that they're going through a tutorial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, there was that, and then also recently, I was playing that that VR stuff. I got into VR chat. You ever seen this?
Nope.
All right. So VR chat essentially is like.
Oh yeah, I have. You're like your own character, and you can talk to people.
Yeah, there's like tons of different avatars you can choose from. You can save favorites. You can be different characters, and then go around and talk to people.
Yeah,
giant chat rooms.
I listen to Jordan Peterson a lot, and people think that he sounds like Kermit, and they did like this VR thing with his voice and Kermit. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who once they pick like show up in avatars, they're trying to do their voices or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night, I was asked if I was a YouTuber. They were like, "Hey, are you a YouTuber?" And I was just talking and chatting and having a good time. And I was like, "Well, I mean, I told them I was like, well, I have a YouTube." But I'm not gonna call myself a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And they're like, because you sound like a YouTuber. You sound like you would be a YouTuber. I was like, oh, maybe I should be a YouTuber.
Well, I mean, you're doing the videos and stuff. You should just go ahead and vlog everything.
I mean, I probably should, but that's going to take like so much effort. Like I thought about doing stuff like that and working on YouTube as well. Right now, YouTube is really just a highlight center for my Twitch stuff.
Right.
It's only there to really, show like highlights and funny moments and then drive traffic to my stream.
Well, you're doing the videos. You don't necessarily have to put them up on YouTube right now, but it could be an option.
Are you talking about, what videos?
You said you were doing the video of you talking to yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do more of those types of videos, then.
Yeah, I could probably put those up.
Yeah, I mean, and you could do a vlog, you don't have to make it really high production value, but just like talk about how you're feeling. It might could help you just get it out.
Oh, it's possible.
And if you don't want to, don't put it on YouTube, but you'll have the video. So
that's true. Like I said, I do have those videos where I kind of pull them up and almost motivate myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had someone in VR chat. I was like this demonic looking dude, like this devil guy.
Mm-hmm.
As an avatar, so I started doing like an evil voice, like speaking real clear and much deeper, and then doing like my laugh. And then the guy was some foreign guy. He was like, "Hey, can you record a message for my friend? It's going to be her birthday." So I like legit, like he's like, "Okay, recording." He's just sitting there, just like standing in front of me, staring at me, and I wish this random person a happy birthday and laugh an evil laugh.
That's
and he
funny.
Was like, he was like, "Thanks, that was awesome."
Oh, it reminds me of that comedian where he said his name was Damien. I don't know if you remember this. Yeah, he was in Kindergarten, yes. And he was like, "Hey guys, my name is Damien."
I do remember that. I do remember that.
That's pretty funny.
So yeah, so I mean that VR chat though has helped me, like I said, take my mind off things. I don't want to get lost in it. I only spend like a little bit of time in it. I'll jump in to not be thinking about stuff so much.
Right.
There's little distractions really help you to just get some clarity and give your mind a break. I also think that you still need those little distractions. You can't get lost in stuff because problems are still going to be there after you get lost in things. But having small distractions just to relax a little bit makes me feel better. Like I get out of VR chat and I'm like, oh, that was fun.
Well, it's not immersing yourself to avoid your problems.
Yeah, like I'm not closing off the outside world.
Yeah, yeah.
And just neglecting everything else.
But your life can't just all be, oh, woe is me,
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get that.
We had a lot of fun too. We actually, there's like this pub you can go to in that game, like a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back it has a kitchen, but you can't get in the kitchen. But this one guy showed us that if you go around to the back alley, you can glitch into the kitchen.
Oh.
And so we go in there and like the bar's filled with people, everyone's out, talking and stuff. And so I go to the window and I'm taking orders. Like in the kitchen. People are like, "Hey, can I get in the kitchen?" I'm like, "No, kitchen staff only." And I legit had Master Chief from Halo in there.
Oh God.
Like, "This is my Master Chef." I think that's how you pronounce it. This is my Master Chef.
Yeah.
And then I had, there was one guy who like ran into the back stock room. He couldn't run back. He's like, "Dude, we're out of everything. There's nothing but a bunch of empty boxes back there." I was like, "Oh shit."
What are we gonna do?
Random girl shows up to the window and says, "Hey, I'm health inspector." And I was like, "Oh fuck." Like, I honestly wish I was streaming or recording at that point, because it was like this whole big bit about how I was trying to run a kitchen and I was trying to be like Gordon Ramsay, and it failed. And it didn't work out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it was funny. We had some good laughs. There was one guy there I met where he was my translator for some Arabic dudes.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
but he didn't know what they were saying either. I did that. We were just sitting at the booth, and the guy would say something, and I look at him, I'm like, all right, what do you say? And he'd look at me like, I don't know. And so he would just translate. He'd be like, you just say random shit. And I'm like, all right, cool, tell him this. And he'd look back and say something, and rape it down. I'm like, what?
You watch Friends when Joey was trying to learn French?
Yes, for his role, where he said, he put it on his like list of stuff he could do.
Yeah. Yep. And she was like, je m'appelle Claude. And he was like, boo boo blee, Claude. Yep. Oh, I love that.
So we had those moments. And so it's actually pretty fun. And it's a game that I didn't know, because the game's called VR Chat. But apparently you can play it without VR. Like, you can just play it on a regular PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You could, like, make your own
avatar. People make their own avatars, but it's like legit, like making a character like for a video game. Like, they give you the skeleton and then you have to make the character from what I've seen from it. But they have a ton of different avatars. But they have a lot of them.
Oh, that's cool.
There is a lot to choose from.
I might have to try it out. Could I do it on my Mac? Do you know?
I'm not sure. You probably have to check like all the different requirements for your system.
Right.
But yeah. It is hilarious.
That sounds like a good like downtime thing for me to kind of unwind.
And honestly, like I said, it was just a good way for me to get in and just bullshit with people, just like a poker stuff. It's not like I'm actually trying to do anything, but they do have actual mini games that you can play with people in that game. Like, they have this game that someone showed me. A lot of people are super nice in that game. Like, you still have your weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the internet, it's online, but a majority of them are super nice. They're like, hey, this is your first time playing, let's go get you some avatars. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we go to all these different worlds, and there's all these different like characters I can choose from to be. And then they say, hey, do you also play games? You want to play some games? I'm like, yeah, let's go play some games. There's a game where it's like hide and seek. One person goes into the seeking room, everyone else goes into the hiding room, and then the game starts. You grab your little flashlights and you run and you hide, and then the seeker runs around with like this fucking scythe and finds people and kills them.
Oh, wow. So
it's like super scary.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But I thought it was just, like I said, it's just a really good way to just kind of kick back, relax, meet some new people, and just not think about stuff for a little bit, you know?
I need something like that. See, a problem I have is I work from home, so I don't have that separation of, oh, I'm at home, I'm not at work, you know, I'm always at work. So what I've been doing is just have one space. This is where I work. When I'm not here, I'm not at work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have something to like unwind before I get the kids, because I'm still in like that work mindset when I leave, like, oh, I gotta finish this when I get back.
We honestly need another Full House Poker.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, as much fun as we had back on that, just shooting shit with people, the ba-bams.
Oh god, yes.
I had this thing where people I'd be in like deadlock with someone, and then I'd make them think they won. They would show their hand, and I'd be like, oh, what? It's like, oh, you got two pair. Oh, bam, bam. My car's down. Full house. Boom. There you go.
I remember that one guy we used to play with. He accidentally said Bluffalo instead of Buffalo.
And now that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, you Bluffalo.
You got the Buffalo. Look at you, Rick. You Bluffalo.
His name was Cody. I can't believe I remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember any of their names, but we played so much with them back in the day.
Yeah, I know. We had like our group.
Yeah, there was the main group that you'd play with, and then we'd do those tournaments, those tables, and we'd have to give Jessie money. Because she was awful.
Oh, she was. Oh my god, I don't know how many times I gave her money.
Me too. I had to give her money too.
5 minutes and she'd be all in. I'm like, Jessie, what the fuck? I just gave you this money. Just
gave you that money for the bias for the tournament. What are you doing?
And then she'd be waiting at the end of the tournament for us to give her some more. Oh God, she did suck.
So I mean, we need that back. I told a story to them. I don't know what brought it up. It was while I was down here though. I told JSC and Michael the story of a game on PlayStation. It used to be called PlayStation Home. I don't know if you remember this. It was probably back on PS.
Oh my God! Yes, I do. I remember your guy that you had in this like Speedo. Yes.
So what it was essentially like more like online Sims where you can make your avatar and play online with people. It was essentially VR chat, like how VR chat is now.
Yeah.
That's probably why I like VR chat so much, because I like that on PS3. Mm-hmm. But so my character was this dude in like zebra print Speedos and a towel around his neck and sunglasses and sandals. So he was pretty.
He had long hair, dude. Right?
Long slick back hair.
Yeah.
And I remember, do you remember his name? His tag was Black Mafia.
Oh no, but it was spelt wrong. Mia Fia. It was spelled wrong.
Yeah. So you do remember him.
I do remember him.
So
he was very annoying.
He was, but he was fun to mess with and play with. I mean, yeah. he was a nice guy, but he was like super annoying, so I would like to fuck with him.
Oh my God. I remember meeting his girlfriend on Minecraft, but you tell your story and then we can talk about that.
Okay. All right. So we're playing that game. The same version, the PlayStation World or PlayStation Home or whatever. And in that game, you could make your own apartment and, you know, decorate it and stuff like that. And so I was trying to do something with him, and he kept working on his apartment. Like, he was working on it for hours. So I was bullshitting around, and I went and started talking to this other girl in game.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking, and then finally he messages me and says, "Hey, my apartment's ready. Come check it out." And I was like, "Oh, hang on, my buddy just sent me this message to come check out his apartment. He's been working on it for like fucking hours, like legit hours." And I was like, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna ask him if you can come too." I was talking to the girl. I was like, "I'm gonna see if you can come too. And when we get there, just talk so much shit about his apartment. I mean, just tear it apart." And she loved it. She was like, "That's a great idea."
She sounds
so
cool.
So we go in there. And I come walking in, and I was like, "Oh, this looks pretty good." And she's like, "Why would you put this right here? This complete mess of the flow. What is this? This was like shit." And he ended up kicking her from the game, and I couldn't stop laughing. And because he was on mic, he was just like, "Man, I can't believe she said that. I worked really hard on this." I was like, "No, dude, I told her to get her back in here. Get her back in here."
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh. He was a weird guy. I remember we were playing Minecraft with him, and he invited his girlfriend, and Jesse was playing with us. Do you remember this?
Huh.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, we were all in the same Minecraft world, and his girlfriend was talking, and we had just met this girl, okay? I didn't even know Black Mia Fia that well, just
oh
from
Oh, my
you.
God, I do remember this. Yes. Oh, shit. Keep going.
And she started talking about how she had to give a kid up for adoption.
I know. We talked about that later. We were like, who brings that up on their first meeting?
So like all this like traumatic shit she went through, and we were just like,
I remember I was just sitting in my gaming chair, just all wide-eyed, like I'm just sitting there like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. And then when they left, we were all like, "What the fuck was that?"
Yeah. Like, what was that all about? We're like, who does that?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure she said something about getting raped, and we were just like,
I know. It's like, I mean, I just want to know how you were doing today, but
yeah.
Pretty sure we just asked how the weather was, but go ahead, just let it out, I guess.
Yeah, and then like Black Mia Fia was like, "Ain't she great?" Yeah. Got yourself a keeper.
Very, very open. She's very open.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, we need another game like that. I would love to have another game where we would just meet up and like play poker. Like I said, it's one of those great distractions we used to have that I wouldn't mind having again.
Yeah. Oh man, I remember having like my little group of friends. It was four of us, and then we would join up for poker afterwards. But it was just every Wednesday night we would play Keflings, and we would do like the weekly challenge, the Rockstar Challenge. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Poker was part of that Rockstar Challenge, and if you did your challenges, then you got like cool outfits and stuff in poker.
Was it tied in with like that wrestling game too? Like
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was tied in for the wrestling game, and I remember Jesse. She finally got this really cool outfit that we all had.
Oh my God.
she put it on and was like, come look at me. And like, I came and I was like, that's not the same outfit I have. And she's like, yeah, this is the exact same one. And I'm looking at it, I was like, Jesse, your avatar is a dude. I had the dress and she had the suit on. So- she was like, what? She had had that same avatar for years and never knew she was a dude. She was like, Bubba set this up for me.
I did set it up for her.
A dude.
Oh my God, I do remember that.
She didn't even know. It was hilarious. You know, the more I think about it, Jessie hadn't changed much from being a kid, you know? Yeah.
She's still the same old Jessie. Yes, yes. Oh, God.
I want to play.
maybe we can find like some type of like I'm sure they have like a cross-platform like Xbox and PC poker game that we can play. I don't think anything I've played since Full House Poker on Xbox 360 mm-hmm. has been quite like it, because that game actually uses your avatars. Every game I've played poker wise after that, they don't even have avatars. It's just you're sitting at a table and there's just cards on the table. Yeah. And there's like empty space in the chairs. And I'm like, well, this is no fun.
Right. I play World Series of Poker, but that's on, it's an app and you can't, it has chat and, you know, you can't say
certain
things.
So you still like talk to people and stuff?
Just in the chat, but it's hard to like type out what you want because when it's your turn, the chat goes away and you have to, unless you play on your computer, but I play on my phone most of the time. Mm. And I quit playing it because it's not like you don't really make friends, you know?
Yeah, not as like interactive as Full House Poker was.
Like you can have friends on there and y'all can join each other's tables, but I mean, I'll play with Kevin and we're talking to each other because we're in the same room. Yeah. But other than that, like if I'm playing with a friend, I can't really talk to them because they don't have voice chat. Mm-hmm. It's not fun for me.
It's not. It was the interactions with people was like half the fun.
Do you remember before poker what we had that we would wind down to?
Uno.
Uno.
Uno. I have Uno on my computer right now.
Oh, I love that. Do you remember Bud the Penguin?
Oh, my God. Okay. So the legend of Bud the Penguin, which he probably should make a comeback at some point.
I think but, so.
Bud the Penguin was an idea I had. I was still like living at home at the
time. Yeah, you were. You were because
so I was like in high school or something.
I was pregnant with Henry. So this was, you had graduated. So this was 07.
That's right, because I had the original Xbox in high school.
Yeah. Because I just got the 360, and you were, like, showing me the ropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had the little webcam and everything, and we were playing Uno. Mm-hmm. And so I go into Jessie's room, and she has a bunch of stuffed animals. And I grab this little stuffed penguin, or I guess medium-sized penguin with a scarf and a little hat on. And I put an old Xbox 360 headset on him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting off to the side, and I'm using this stuffed animal with the headset on like a puppet. On camera.
Yep.
And just talking smack to people. And I think you slipped up and called me Bub.
I did.
And someone was like, did you just call him Bud? And I was like, yeah, Bud the Penguin. I was like, because Bud the Penguin was an asshole. And I was like, you got a problem with that?
Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying, I'm from Alaska, bitch.
Yeah, because he asked, he was like, how's the weather in Antarctica? And I put his face in the camera. And I was like, I'm from Alaska, bitch.
That was great. It was great. We played partner, right? Like we were partners against other people. Yep. And I was like, Bud, come on, be nice.
Bud was a pretty good hit on Uno.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was great. I miss those days. Man, I can't believe it was 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years. And then Full House Poker. I mean, that wasn't too far after that.
No, man. So we were playing that in like 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Like nine years ago.
It was like when Halo Reach had been out for a while when I finally got it. Mm-hmm. And then we all got back into it because I got it. So it was like, oh yeah, we're going to play some Reach.
Mm-hmm. Taking it back.
Yeah. And I got obsessed with it. I fucking loved Halo Reach. I miss those days.
Yeah. Because really, there's not really too many. I mean, I still play a good amount of games and like when I'm streaming and stuff, but there's not that many games out that come out anymore that are like really huge and like must haves. Like, oh my God, I cannot wait for this game to drop. Here we go.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of games are rushed, you know? Yeah. I really like, if I'm not playing a first person shooter now, I just like to really like I'll play Don't Starve. I really like that game. Because it's just, I mean, you don't, I mean, you can win it, but otherwise you just try to survive, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that. I also play other, like, BS games. Like, Sea of Thieves, I like that game. There's not, you don't really win that game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no, I think, and that might be the an issue with games, though, is that there's so many out there that have no ending to it, that it's just so open-ended now. Because it used to be you would beat a game and move on.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But now there's games that you can play for, like, literally years.
Yeah. Like Minecraft.
Like Minecraft.
You introduced me to Minecraft a long time ago.
Jesse and Michael actually got me into Minecraft. That was, like, probably my, I would consider that my first survival game. Because you did have to eat in that game. Like, you would get hungry. The more you run and do stuff, you would start getting hungry. And if your food meter ran all the way down, you would start dying.
Yeah. I think that's why I like Don't Starve, because that's basically the premise. Don't fucking starve, you know? And, oh, man, when you introduced me to Minecraft, I swear to God, I took a week off of work. I was like, I'm just going to play this game. But when another game come out and I took a week off of work when it came out, I can't remember which one it was. Oh, it was GTA 5.
GTA 5?
Yeah.
Mine was, I missed work for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I missed work for that game. I think that's really the only game where I was, no, that was the game I missed work for, because I got into Mass Effect. I got into Mass Effect, but I still went to work for that. But I would stay up all day, then go to work, come home, play it all night, go back to work the next day. And then I think after like day two or three, I ended up just passing out. Like, I can't play it tonight anymore. I got to get some sleep. I pulled like 2 or 3 days with no sleep because I was just playing that game.
Oh, I called into work three days in a row. So I didn't take a week off. It was about,
that was me with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
that was me with Apoc Z. Oh my God.
Oh my God, Apoc Z.
I was obsessed, do you remember?
I do remember that.
I was obsessed with that game. And it was not like a real, you know, high tech type of game. It was kind of buggy at first too. When I first started playing it.
It was the off brand of
Daisy.
Of Daisy, yes, yeah. Which they now have Daisy on Xbox.
I'm scared to get it.
I am too.
I haven't bought it yet.
I'm iffy, like, I'm only used to Apoc Z. If I get into something serious like this, then
Yeah, I'm done. I mean, when we got into Sea of Thieves, I took a day off to play Sea of Thieves. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you played with me that day. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to work. You're like, oh, you're playing Sea of Thieves? I'm like, yes. I'm playing until the kids get home.
There you go.
But something like, my work is very, like, I don't know. It takes a lot of brain power for me to do my work, you know? Yeah,
it's very draining.
It is super draining. Like, I research stuff. So I'm in digital marketing and I help clients to get found online, their website found online. And there's so many different ways to do it. So I have to figure out what their problem is if they're not getting found online. And then I have to figure out ways for them to get found online. And then I have to look at their analytics and see what's happening, making sure they're getting traffic and conversions. And it's just, you know, I talk to the clients a lot. So I need a break from that kind of stuff. Yeah. It really weighs heavy on me. I mean, I dream about it. I dream about checking fucking analytics and rankings. And I mean, it's not.
I have the same thing. I'm sure there's like a lot of people too who just work so much and are like almost overwhelmed by it that they even dream about it.
Yeah. I mean, I dream about spreadsheets. And I mean, it's so not.
I've done the same thing with my jobs where I dream I'm at work and something goes wrong. Or certain things happen and I have to, it's like a nightmare. It's like, you know, the worst things happen at work. And I'm like, oh fuck, now we got to deal with this.
Oh yeah. I had a dream recently that I went to New York because one of the agencies that I contract for is in New York. I got off the plane and I realized I was naked and I had to meet a client. I was like covering myself up trying to figure out how I was going to meet this client naked.
I don't think I've ever had a dream where I was naked.
Oh, I have them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had a dream where I was like, I realize, oh shit, I'm naked. I've had dreams before where I've jumped too high into the sky. Is that like, that's usually, that's like almost a common thing for me.
Oh, as a, do you fall?
Well, what I do is I do something and I end up jumping and I just keep going up and I keep going up, keep going up, keep going up. And I'm like, oh shit, this is way too high. Like I'm up in the clouds and then I start coming down and I'm like, well, shit, what have I done? I jumped way too high. I'm trying to look to see where I can fall. I'm like, okay, I need to find somewhere soft, soft-ish to land.
Well, you know, I have a dream book. Like
about, so it has stuff in there about jumping too high?
You know, let me look it up. Oh. So I know dreams about being naked is reflecting a fear of being exposed and feelings of shame. Mm-hmm. So I guess for me, like, I'm really, really good at my job, but I still doubt myself. I'm like, I'm a poser, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe they're letting me do this stuff. I'm a poser.
Yeah,
but really, I'm good. Yeah. But really, I'm really good at what I do and I really care about it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, is this what I'm supposed to do? So I think that's why I have a lot of the naked dreams. I'm like scared of being exposed. Like, oh, Megan doesn't really know what she's doing. Mm-hmm. But really, I do. I just second guess myself. I think that's the reason why I dream about being naked. And let me look at jumping too high. Okay, here we go. Uncover. You might be worried about losing something close and dear to you. It really depends on how high you are actually jumping. Okay. Do you see yourself in third person?
No, it's, I think it's first person.
It's first person?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. So
this is interesting.
Yeah. Let's see which one. There's different options. You just suddenly jumped really high.
Yeah, like I'm just trying to make it like a little jump and then I just like mm-hmm. shoot straight up in the air. Or I meant to jump high, but not that high.
It's you have a desire that's been repressed for some time. Uh-huh. Being afraid in life is also connected to jumping high. So
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it denotes freedom in your choices. Like you feel like you've been constricted and now you need that freedom to actually choose your path. It also can symbolize you're in the process of making an important change in your life. Oh. Yeah.
And that all so, kind of, that's kind of weird how all that kind of lines up.
Yeah. And you might be scared that you're going to make a mistake. So that symbolizes you jumping, you know, too high and then coming back down in the downward direction.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. There. I mean, I look up like the dream meanings a lot and sometimes I'll think, oh, well, this, there's no way this obscure dream I had is going to be in here. And it is, you know? Huh.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this one then, because okay. I'm actually going to write a book about this.
Okay.
So I'm a little hesitant to throw it out there because it's an idea and it's a really good one, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, because it's my dream.
Right. You could be, you know, broad, I guess.
Well, I mean, it was a movie in my head. And so I don't know if this can be interpreted for anything because I wasn't in it.
Oh.
But it had, two male characters, okay. They were henchmen for a mob underboss, and this mob underboss was like this skeevy, skinny, long hair, slick back, thin mustache looking guy who wore like a bathrobe and Speedos. And he had been skimming money from the mob, and so the two henchmen decide, "Hey, we're going to steal that money because it's not like he can go to the you know head boss and tell him, hey, I lost the money I've been stealing from you." Mm-hmm. So they steal it, but then he, the underboss, sends out guys after him, after the two, and then also he hires an assassin to go after them, played by Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also two cops who are in this story as well. There's a detective, played by Danny Glover.
Nice, and, of course, I mean, who else?
And his partner is who's the chick from Jesse told me the other day because I was telling her about this as well. She was in Fast and Furious. She's like a Latina.
Oh, is she in Avatar?
Yes, I think that's her. Yeah, in Avatar as well. Yeah, the pilot or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's her name? She was Danny Glover's partner. She was like, you know,
Yeah.
But I essentially just watched this entire movie play out in my head.
Oh, it's Michelle Rodriguez. Is
yeah,
that
that's
it?
Her. Yeah. Yeah, that's her. So I essentially watched this movie play out in my head and just woke up like, oh, wow, that'd be a really good idea for a story.
Yeah. Danny Glover's getting on up there, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, when I had the dream, though, Val Kilmer was like, we're talking about like Batman Forever, Val Kilmer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it was like, it was that versions, those versions of the ump.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I can't remember who the two main people were, though, but that's certain dreams I have like that. I have dreams like I'm watching a movie and that I'm not even a part of. And sometimes I am a part of them. Sometimes I'm like the main character.
Too. I've had a dream about Will Smith. Okay. Yeah. It was like a movie. Uh-huh. And it was, they found this race of people underwater. But they weren't mermaids. They had just adapted themselves to be able to live underwater. Mm. Their skin was different. You know, they could walk around underwater and they could swim. And all of a sudden they realized that they could also live on land. So somehow they had gotten on land and was like, hey, we can live in the water and on land. So they were going to start a war with the humans that could not live underwater.
And people versus the water people.
Yeah, and Will Smith got like Independence Day. You know? Mm-hmm. Instead of aliens, it was water people. He was leading the way.
That's pretty good. I had another dream. I don't want to give too much away on this one because it's another story that I'm working on. I think it's going to be a pretty good one. But it takes place in our hometown. And instead of a railroad track, it was a river. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm, I do.
So instead of the railroad track, it was a river there, and a bus had crashed in the river, and two cops were standing on the shore of the river looking at it as they were being towed out, and it was the sheriff, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who else?
And the deputy, I don't know who the deputy was. The main one was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was the sheriff in town. And I'm trying to think of other dreams I may have had that actually starred like actual like people. Oh, David Hasselhoff was in one of my dreams. It was, oddly enough, it was a reoccurring dream that kept continuing. It was like a three, like I had a trilogy dream.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It started out as a horror where I was being chased by like a guy with a chainsaw. And mm-hmm. then it picked back up again where I was still running from them. It was like the sequel or a continuation of the first dream. And then in the third dream, I finally found who was sending these people after me. It was David Hasselhoff.
Oh no.
I was going through the woods and I popped out in this clearing and there was this desk and this chair and the chair was turned around so I couldn't see who was in it. And I was like, who are you? And he turned around and he's like, I'm the guy who's been sending these guys after you. And he turns around and I was like, David Hasselhoff? And I started laughing too, and he didn't like that.
Oh.
He stood up and he jumped like straight up in the air, landed in front of me, like jumped like 30 feet. Okay.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then just like straight punched me in the chest and I went flying backwards.
You weren't laughing no more.
So I went from like laughing to be like, oh shit, David Hasselhoff.
Oh, you and the boys were little. If they got in trouble or anything, they'd be like, call David Hasselhoff.
Oh, because of the SpongeBob movie?
Yeah. Except for Henry couldn't say it. He would say, call David Hasselhoff.
But the thing was that even in that dream, though, in that dream, it ended so weird. Like it was actually an ending to the trilogy. And the ending was so weird is that I was hurt by, of course, David Hasselhoff's punch. Mm-hmm. It injured me, you know, quite a bit. And then the two guys that had been chasing me, there was a chainsaw guy and a clown guy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And right when they were trying to kill me, these three different colored lights come out of the woods and into my body. And I dodged the dude's attack. Like I did this weird like midair spin where I went in between like this chainsaw and tomahawk that they were swinging. And then I landed and David Hasselhoff was like, what? Like it turned into anime. David Hasselhoff was like, what? Impossible. And he jumps over in front of me and I start fighting David Hasselhoff, the chainsaw guy and the clown guy simultaneously, like all three of them. I'm just fighting them.
Oh, damn.
And then I defeat them like in just single hits. I launch them away from me. And I turn around and I'm like, what is this? What has happened to me? And this golden retriever comes walking out from the woods and sits in front of me and said, I've gave you the gift. And I was like, teach me. And then it ended. We were both sitting in a tree on a limb looking up at the night sky.
You and a golden retriever.
And then me and a golden retriever just sitting on a tree limb. And then the camera pans up to the night sky and the stars. And then it ends.
Oh,
I left to go train, I guess, under the golden retriever.
I mean, you know, when I think badass, I think golden retriever. Yeah,
I think, you know, golden retriever. But the golden retriever could talk. And then he seemed so wise. He had much to teach me.
Oh, like in a Homeward Bound.
Exactly.
The wise golden retriever.
Yeah, that might have been Shadow. That would make me sassy.
Oh, you're total sassy.
I'm totally sassy. Not Chance. I'm just sassy.
No. I love that movie. We watch that movie so much.
It's a great movie. It's a classic.
I made the kids watch it. They liked it too.